along with our message this morning. How about that?
Amen.
This morning, I'd like to take the opportunity to preach a message the Lord gave me this morning. If you'll take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 23, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 33. The Lord Jesus is speaking here, and He's speaking to a group of people who are religious. He's speaking to the religious crowd. He's speaking to those who believe that they know the way. They've got it figured out. They're doing pretty good. The Sadducees and the Pharisees. But they're not the only ones there. There are others there also. But He says to them in verse 33, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" With the help of the Lord this morning, I'd like to preach, how shall we escape? How shall we escape? I'm not going to preach this message to somebody who's not here. This message is for all those who are here, and the attendance, and the sound of my voice. This isn't for somebody else. This is for us. First thing I'd like to say is, we make plans all the time to escape. We do. Everything in life you have, you make plans to escape from. Right? Everybody got credit cards. You got a plan on escaping the paid debt. Right? How am I going to get out of debt? Right? You have a plan to escape. The captivity. Right? The word escape. Let's look at what the word escape means. I wrote this down so I wouldn't get it wrong. The word escape means to break free from confinement or control. That's one way to use the word escape. Another way is fail to be noticed by or remembered by someone. You say, well, the thought escapes me. Or the person's name escapes me, right? Yeah, we use it that way. The third way we have is succeed in avoiding or eluding dangerous or unpleasant things, right? We want to escape jail so we don't speed real fast. You know, we stay under 100 miles an hour, right? There's certain things we do to avoid confrontation. We escape it, right? If you know someone has a tendency to argue about politics, you might not bring it up. We escape things all the time. But better than that, we all make plans on escaping certain things. Very important things we make good plans for, okay? Probably the easiest one to bring up that everybody has seen or can experience and know what I'm talking about, is a fire escape plan. If you ever work on a job, it's required by law that they post a picture or an image of the building, the layout, or what floor you're on. It has to show you several things. It has to show you where you are in that building. It'll say, you are here. Right? And then when you see where you are, it'll have a very obvious line that you need to proceed in to remove yourself from where you are to the escape point. And then you'll see it'll have a red, you get the red line, go down these stairs, don't take the elevator, go down these stairs, go out this door, and meet in this parking lot over here. Or it'll say, you have to meet in this other building adjoining if the fire is here. Or we're talking about a fire escape. If something happens, we have a plan to remove ourselves from one area safely, to another area of your planned meeting place. And there's several reasons for that. The first one is you need to know where you are. You can't escape a building if they show every escape plan for the whole building on a map. You'd be confused. So when you're standing on the second floor, it'll have the escape plan for second floor. And vice versa, first, third, whatever it is. And then it shows you a direct route, closest way, easiest way to get out. And then it'll show you a place to meet. You say, well, why a place to meet? Well, if we all meet in the same place and somebody's not accounted for, we know somebody might still be in trouble and need our help, right? And if you don't all meet in the same place, you're all scattered out. Nobody knows who got out. Nobody knows if they still need help. And that. So it's very clear, concise planning. It's a good plan. Very good plan. In our Bible, we see, we're not going to turn there, but in Genesis 32, Esau and Jacob. Jacob was coming back home. If you remember the story, and he made a plan. He said, now, Esau, you probably might still hate me. I'm going to break my family up into three different groups. And if he attacks us, at least some of us will get away. He had a plan. He knew something might go wrong, and he had a plan. I know in 1 Samuel 27, David, King Saul was pursuing him again. He made a plan of escape. He said, I'm going to go around this side of the mountain. And if he comes around this way, I'm going to go around the other side of the mountain. Thinking ahead, seeing the danger, and making a plan to remove yourself from it is escaping. How about this one? Daniel and the lion's den. There's not a very good escape route in that one. He's put in a place that don't have a door. It don't have a stairway. It don't have no place to hide. What was his escape plan? Pray. He won't pray. With that in mind, and knowing and understanding what escape means and what I'm talking about, and in context here of Matthew chapter 23, verse 33 says, Jesus told them, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? I want to give us two things that we need to escape from. Two things I want to bring up this morning to bring to your mind. There's probably many more in the scriptures, but two of them I want to speak about escaping from. And then I want to give you the answer. The first thing that we see here in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 33 is we need to escape the damnation of hell. You'll turn over to Hebrews in chapter 2. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 2, we're going to read from verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and no disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Let me say this. We've been given a book. We call it the Bible. Alright? He's speaking here in verse 2 of the word given by angels and by prophets of the Old Testament. If you have a hard time believing the words and the laws and the things given in the Old Testament, and you're counting on them, the law. You're counting on the law to save you, and justification of obedience to the law to save you. How much more now that Jesus Christ has been here, and He's told us the way of salvation, how much more should we put our weight and our confidence in what Jesus Christ has told us more than what the law had? Because those were just angels and just men. Jesus Christ was here. He told us the way, how to escape. Let me tell you this morning, we're all in great need. When we're born into this world, we're born into a lost and dying world. None of us have anything worth anything inside of us that will justify us before God. We all stand in great need and in great loss to be able to justify ourselves before God. There's no way we can do it by ourselves. We need a way of escape. First of all, we need to realize where we are. If I want to see a way to escape hell, I've got to see where I am so I know which way to go to escape it. Where am I? I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner lost and undone before a holy and righteous God. That's me. Put that sign right here. Here you are. Under that sinner. Under that lost. Unforgiven. No righteousness. The Bible says all my righteousness is as filthy rags. We can't do it by ourselves. We need to have a plan. Let me tell you something. Lord Jesus Christ gave us His plan. We're fixing to look at it. He gave us a plan to escape hell. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to be lost. And we don't have to find ourselves burning in a real place for our sin. We can escape. Take your Bible. Turn to a very, very popular passage that most of us know by heart. In the book of John. John chapter 3. And you'll know where I'm going. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Lord Jesus Christ is going to give us His plan and He's going to tell us some things we got to do if we're going to escape hell. John chapter 3 and verse 15 says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Let me tell you something. God made a plan for us to escape hell. I want to say this. Hell was not created for you and me. It was not made as a place for damnation for man. It was made as a place of judgment for those of God's creation, of the angels who fell from their birth to faith. Man has been placed in that position because they fell before God. Our sinful condition. And I don't want to put all the blame on Adam. Although Adam did sin and bring death into the world and upon all of us, we're sinners on our own. We're sinners exceedingly on our own. We don't do that. Well, I'm a sinner because Adam was a sinner. Well, you're born that way. You're born into a sinful state and you're born and you're going to die because Adam sinned. You will die. Those of you who were here last Sunday, we spoke about that. Let me tell you something. We're sinners because we choose to be sinners. We love sin. We love the pleasures of flesh for sin for a season. Our flesh loves sin. Why? Because it's so fun. The ways of the Bible and the ways of the Lord aren't easy all the time to deny your... I mean, it's like this right here. Who likes candy? Why? It tastes so good. It's sweet.
But it makes you cry out. There's some side effects. Long term. Right? You might get addicted to it. I don't know if you're addicted to candy or not. But
let me tell you what. Sin's the same way.
We like it. We enjoy it. It's easy. It seems as though we can put off the cost of it for a while. But one day we're going to have to pay for our sin.
And one day we're going to stand before a holy and righteous God, and we're going to be judged for our sin.
He said, Brother Sam, what are you talking about as far as sin goes? When people say sin, what do they mean? Any transgression or act against the law of God and His holiness and His righteousness that He has put forth is sin. The thought of foolishness is sin.
The Bible tells us also that we're going to be brought into judgment for the thoughts and intents of our heart, the purpose that we thought about things, the things that we thought about, and every idle word we will be judged for.
I got nowhere to hide. I've done said a lot of things. I've done thought a lot of things. I done said a lot of things. And I did a lot of things. How will I escape? What will I do?
I stand guilty before a holy and righteous God. What can I do to escape my damnation for my sin? I'm looking for an escape route. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that be Jesus Christ.
I like the other part of the verse. Whosoever.
Amen. That's me. Yes, that's me. He doesn't have a list of people that are going to make it. He doesn't say only certain people. He said, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's me. I want that escape route. I choose that escape route. Hey, I don't want to go to hell. Amen. I can't afford to pay for my sin. Amen. That's a high price to pay. Everlasting judgment, damnation. I can't afford that. I'm looking for an escape. Let's turn to this. Let's turn just one book over. Look over to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in chapter 4. In the book of Acts chapter 4, Brother Peter is telling us something here. And he says something very profound. He says, neither is there any salvation. I'm sorry. Chapter 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Not only is it a matter of I want to choose an escape route, there is only one. There's not multiple ways to escape. Now you might think you can take another route, you can take another way, but it's not going to lead you. You're going to be caught, and you're going to be proverbially burned, and you're not going to escape that place you're in. You will not escape sin. You will not escape death. You can't afford the price to pay. He gave you an escape route. It's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. You say, well, what's the difference, Brother Sam?
It's this right here. Jesus Christ is the only one who raised Himself from the dead.
Amen.
He's the only sacrifice that God gave, that His blood should be shed for our sins and placed on that mercy seat in heaven to cleanse us.
One time, forever. Not multiple times, one time. It's done. It's over.
Let me tell you something. All the sins of the whole world have been paid for. All the sins that you could ever commit and anybody you know could ever commit have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ.
It's up to you now.
The escape plan has been posted on the wall. You see where you are. You see where you need to go. And now you have to choose to take that route. years. What will you do? Titus, the book of Titus in chapter 2. The book of Titus in chapter 2, verses 11, says this right here. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in Himself a particular people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. Let me say this. We know by the reading of the Scripture how we're to escape. We have to put our faith and our trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this world. We read in John 3:16, God sent Him to be born, to live and die, and shed His blood for the sacrifice of our sins. Now by faith, we have to believe that's true. And by faith, we have to believe this is going to sanctify me. This is going to redeem me, and this is going to make me whole before God. Tell you what, verse 14 says, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Brother, let me tell you what, I'm just a sinner saved by grace because one day I put my hope and my trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the work He did on Calvary for me. That's it. That's all. That's all I can do. If I can't do anything to save myself, I sure can't do anything to keep myself saved. It's by His work He did on the cross. And that alone. I want to ask you something. Are you ready? Are you ready today for a fire? The fire marshal comes in. He wants to check the doors. He's going to check your plan. He's going to check your fire extinguisher. He's going to check everything to see if your building's ready to be occupied. How about you? Are you ready today for a fire? If death came today and you had to die today, are you ready? You know, have you followed your escape plan? Are you ready? Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Romans. I want to ask you something else. I asked you, how are we going to escape hell? Jesus asked that question. He thought it was important. I want to ask you this. Second thing I want to ask you is this right here. How will you escape, or how will we escape the judgment of God? Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. And I'll just add this in case you have a problem. Man or woman, boy or girl, young or old, don't matter. Whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same things. Verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and thou the same, dost the same? That thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impotent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. I want to say this.
Judgment of God is coming. Each and every one. I'm not talking about in America. I'm not talking about in the world. I'm talking about each and every one of us individually. The judgment of God is going to come. Are we ready, and do we have a way to escape the judgment of God?
If you'll turn back just one chapter to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, just a few verses back. Verse 19. Or this is verse 17. Let's start there. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let me tell you something. We are without excuse. Man is without an excuse for the way that we continue to live, knowing what God's done for us. Let's continue reading. Verse 21. We're without excuse. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served a creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise unto the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And we spoke on this last week, just a little bit, but I want to say it again. You get pretty good list there. He gave a pretty extensive list of the things of those who don't want to retain God and their knowledge. Because I'll tell you something, you can't be a Christian and say, I love God, and love the pleasures of the flesh at the same time. You got to give one up to have the other. You aren't going to be a homosexual and be a Christian at the same time. God says it's an abomination. You aren't going to be a lesbian and be a Christian at the same time. It's an abomination. You can't be a fornicator and an idolater and a hater of God and be a Christian at the same time. You got to give them things up. Now we know in the New Testament there were brethren
who fell into some of these sins. They were saved.
How do we know they were saved?
The Bible says he
destroyed their bodies
for the salvation of the soul.
Let me tell you what. You're saved? You say, I'm saved, I know I'm saved, I love God, but I'm in these things. The wrath of God's coming. It's coming upon the believers and the unbelievers. What's your escape plan? How do you plan on escaping the judgment? Verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. How do you plan on escaping that? What's your plan of escape? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, we're going to see here, John wrote unto us the revelation of things to come. Let's start in verse 11. John said, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose the face of earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their deeds. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Jesus said, how should you escape hell? We got an escape plan for hell, brother.
We know how to escape hell. Through Jesus Christ, and He shed blood by faith on His work He did on Calvary. Tell you what. You say, well, I don't have to worry about that. I'm not dying anytime soon. I'm okay. I'll be alright.
One day you're going to die.
And one day you're going to stand before God and He's going to judge you out of the things written in the book.
The book. There are several books here mentioned. You got the book of life.
Now I know my name's written in the book of life because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have testimony in the other scriptures say that
I have life and it's eternal through Jesus Christ because I believe God's Son. But there's another book there. It's a book of records.
And it's a book of my sins. It's a book of the decisions I made, the things I said, and the things I thought, and the things I did. They're all written down. And I'm going to be brought into judgment for those things. Now here in Revelation chapter 20, the great white throne judgment,
I'm already sanctified. These are the people who refused.
These are the people who refused Jesus Christ. He says they're going to be cast to hell. Hell and death
will be cast into the lake of fire. The second death.
What's your plan to escape there? I'm closing. Let's turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians in chapter 5. Verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Let me tell you something. We're all going to stand before God.
We are all going to stand before God. Some to eternal damnation, and some to life eternal. But we all will stand before God.
And not only will we all stand before God, but we're going to give answer to what we did, whether it was good or bad. There's no escaping that. We're not going to escape the judgment seat.
But you can escape the damnation.
Let me tell you what. I done told you how we can escape hell through Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what. Don't take that lightly. Don't put that off at a time where you might have a sudden death. Or a time where you might forget, or you get so caught up in your sin and addicted to the ways of the flesh, you cannot come back to a right mind and come back to a point where you can honestly say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm closing. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 11 says, For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12 says, So then let every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let me tell you what, judgment's coming. Hell's coming. Last week we preached on death was coming. Do you have an escape plan? Have you even thought about an escape plan? Are you too busy enjoying the flesh and the things that the world has to offer? What's our escape plan? There is none other than Jesus Christ. I'm going to turn to this reference, and I believe I'm going to close here. Turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. Just the next book over, just a few pages. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says this. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape that you be able to bear it. Let me tell you something. God knows. He was here in the form of Jesus Christ in the flesh. He knows what's here. He knows the temptations of the flesh. He understands the desires of our heart. He understands the things that we go through. He understands them. And He's made a way for us to escape. He understands how we feel. He understands the frailty.
Bring ourselves up under the subjection of the law. That's a very heavy yoke to bear.
Jesus said, Come unto me. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I just want to ask you a couple questions and I'm closed. Where are you? Where are you? Can you look and see where you are and identify, I'm saved or I'm lost? Can you identify the difference? If the answer is I'm lost, do you know the way? Do you know the way to escape? And thirdly, you know. know where you're going to meet? Do you know where you're going to meet? John chapter 14 says, Lord, we know not the way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. Any man come to the Father, but by me. And I go to prepare a place for you. Where I go, you may come and be here also. Amen. We have to know where we are. You can't get saved and you can't change. You can't have a good plan if you don't even know where you are or where you stand. Where do you stand? Do you know the way to escape? Sister Carrie will come and play us a hymn. I want to give an invitation of time. Is anyone here today does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And you do not know that you are saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. If there's doubt in your mind, you're not sure, and you want to know, all you do is stand up. Come right down here. Ask somebody. It's just hell. It's just eternal damnation. That's all it is.